Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant, Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Prophetic theme for the month of August is taken from John chapter 1 verse 14. John chapter 1 verse 14. He says that, "And the word became flesh and it dwelleth among us. We've seen his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Amen. And the prophetic theme for this month is, "And we beheld his glory." Simple. And we beheld his glory. But then, so as we behold the glory of God throughout this month for all our programs and all our activities, Breakthrough 9 CTGs, Truth Encounter, but on the Truth Encounter services, we'll be looking at In Pursuit of Vision. In Pursuit of Vision. Come on, say it after me. In Pursuit of Vision. Amen. And for our Truth Encounter, that is Sunday by Sunday, we'll be looking at the scripture that is from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 1 to 3. And that is what I want to read this morning. Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse number 1 to 3. Habakkuk. Say Habakkuk. He said, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am approved." Go on. He said, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables or the tablets, that he may run that word." Read it. He may run that. Read it. He may run. Read it. Praise God. So the vision was given, and the vision was written on the tablet, and the vision was run with. So on Sundays, we are looking at pursuing vision, or in pursuit of what? Vision. So every Sunday you come here on this altar, this is what God, the Lord, is going to speak to you in Jesus' name. Now, bow down your heads as we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that the flower fades and the grass will wither, but your word abides forever. Once again, we have gathered not to excite ourselves, nor to come on, the unadulterated word of God. Spirit of God, this is your time. This is not the time for Pastor Obed to minister, but this is the time of the Holy Spirit to minister and to share his word and what he has intended for his people. Holy Spirit, I avail myself as a vessel of honor that use me to be a blessing to anyone that heareth the sound of my voice, both here and abroad on radio and also on the internet. Let your word saturate every atmosphere and let your glory be seen. I stand in the name of Jesus and I bind and I rebuke every act of the enemy. Anything that will stop the word of God from having its free course, I speak in the name of Jesus that the will of God be reinforced over this atmosphere in the name that is above every other name. And let everybody shout a big amen. Come on, be seated in the presence of the Lord. As you say, you are the right place. Oh, come on, say to somebody, you are the right place. 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 Tell somebody, you are the right place. You know, you must understand that the life in the kingdom is the life that is designed and programmed to shine more and more. The life in the kingdom, it's a life that is programmed to shine more and more. Life in the kingdom is a life that is designed to shine as you move on, as you go on. Your days in life must keep on increasing as your days goes on and as your days goes by. That supposes that your yesterday, your today must be better than your yesterday, and your tomorrow must also be better than your today. In Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18 says that the path of the just is like a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Come on, the path of the just, the path of the just, the path of the just is like a shining light that shine more and more unto a perfect day. That means that God has programmed the path of the just, the path of the believer. The path, the life in the kingdom must be a life that must always be shining. Your life must always be shining. Say, my life must always be shining. It must have a progressive movement. There must be a progression of your life. Life in the kingdom is designed to be progressing. Better days ahead. Every day in your life must be better than the previous day. I didn't have any single person say amen on that. I said every day in your life must have a progression and a better than the day before. Is somebody here with me? And this is how Paul also put it in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 30. Defining who the just is. He said that the path of the just in Proverbs 4:18 says that the path of the just is like a shining light. Now, this is how Paul also defined who the just man is. The just man is the just man. In Romans chapter number 8, verse number 30, the Bible said, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Is somebody here with me? And them that he called, he justified. Is anybody with me? So who is a just man? A just man is the one that is called. A man whose life has already been predestinated. The word predestinate means that before you came, everything about your life has been programmed and has been fixed. Before you set off on your journey, your ticket for in and out has already been booked. Your life has been predestinated. And the Bible says that he predestinated your life. Then he called you. And them that he called, the Bible said he justified. And them that he justified, he glorified. That means that the one whose life is programmed to have progression is the one that is called. Before you can come to the place of justification, you must be called. Is anybody here that believe is called? You didn't come here by your own strength or by your own ability. He called you. Come on, say he called me. From the trenches of your life, from the ashes of your life, he called you, he raised you up. The Bible said that he raised the poor from the dust, and the needy from the dunghill. He called you because he has a plan and a purpose for your life. So Paul, defining who the just person is, he says that he's the one that is called. Tell somebody, I am called. Oh, I am called to have my life shine more and more, to see increase in my life, to have greater things ahead of me. Is anybody here with me? Oh, our lives had not been redeemed in order to have retrogressions. I want you to understand that salvation is not designed to bring you back, but salvation is designed to push you forward. Oh, come on now, that is weak. You are not redeemed to be placed low or to be placed under or to be trampled on, but you have been redeemed so that you'll be exalted, so that you'll move forward. Your life is not designed to be a life of retrogression or stagnation, but your life is designed that every day in your life, because you are called, you are justified. Once you are justified, your glory is inevitable. Come on, can I speak to somebody here with me? I said, because I'm called, he has justified me, and by reason of my justification, my glory, my forward movement, my progressions, everything about my life is already destinated. It is already fixed. In fact, as a matter of fact, everything about me has already been programmed by God, and it is a glorious end for me. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but God is setting you up for such a glory in your life, where every day of your life will be your day of testimony. He said it will be your day of testimony. You must understand that because the path of the just has been programmed to progress and to shine more and more, that path cannot shine without vision. Even though the child of God has been predestinated, has been called, even though you have been justified and even to be glorified, even though your life has been designed to have a progressive movement, that path that must shine cannot shine without vision. So it is vision that makes your life and your path shine. When you come into the place of vision, you come into the place where your life begins to see progression. Somebody's blessed. How do I know this? In Proverbs chapter number 29, verse 18. Proverbs chapter number 29, verse 18. He said that, for where there is no vision, for lack of vision, my people perish. Where there is no vision, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, where there is no vision. Tell somebody, where there is no vision, the people perish. So without vision, you can't have a progressive life. Without vision, you cannot move into your glorious destiny. Without vision, you cannot see into where God wants you to be. The people perished because they lack vision. And I want you to understand, and I want to stress on this point even before I go on, that vision is a heavenly thing. Drop it. Vision is not an earthly thing, but it is a heavenly thing. So vision is not meant for unbelievers, but visions are meant for believers. When the Bible talks about my people perish, it's talking about God's people who are perishing for lack of vision. That means that you can be a child of God and still perish, not have a progressive life, not be able to move on in life. Your life becomes stagnated and retrogressing, and you wouldn't be able to see your way out, not because you are not a child of God. In other words, not because you are not predestinated, neither are you called, not because you are not justified, but because you lack vision, you can't have a glorious end. You can't have a progressive life. So we are not talking as vision, as people who wants to see their future, or who wants to go to certain place, who want to have certain line of career, or want to do something. But vision is a heavenly thing. Bam. I said vision is a heavenly thing, and it is not meant for unbelievers, but it is meant for what? Believers. And the Bible says, for lack of vision, my people perish. I believe that God doesn't want any of his people to perish. Is anybody here with me? And we refuse to perish. Is somebody here with me? I said, we refuse to perish. So as an individual, God expects you to have what? Vision. Somebody's blessed. And we must also understand that, again, the last day's church in which God has called you and I is also a church of vision. The last day church, which comprises of you and I, is what? A church of what? Vision. In Joel chapter number 2, verse number 28, I want us to hit on certain points. And he said that, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all. Come on, say all. Flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall do what? Dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Your young men shall see vision. Now, everything he said in Joel chapter number 2 was talking about an army which was on the go. A progressive army, an army which was taking territories, an army which was invading, an army. That is where he said in verse number 25, give me verse number 25. He said that the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the palmer worm, my great army. So he was talking about a progressive and advancement kind of life. Then he said that in the last days I will pour out my spirit. So the last days church, which was prophesied by Joel, is a church that must carry vision. A church that must run with the vision. A church that must push through and make their life progressive by vision. And this is how he described that it can only be done by the great outpouring of the Spirit. When the Spirit is poured, great vision will be released. Now let me explain this further for people who may be confused. Now when we talk about vision, vision is not to be in trance. Vision is not to be in trance, like you will see things. Vision is not about that. Vision is not about what you do tomorrow. Oh, what is your vision? I want to go to this school. What is your vision? Oh, I want to become a lawyer, a doctor. I want to become an accountant in future. I want to be so and so this. Oh, I know that if I should pursue this line of career, then I will be like this. That is my vision. No, this is not a vision. That is not a vision. Tell somebody that is not a vision. But that is ambition. Come on. That is an ambition. In fact, vision is heavenly. Ambition is earthly. Is somebody following me? So when you wake up in the morning, I want to be like this, I want to be like that, 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 that. Oh, that, 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 that. May God help me. It's your ambition. And God doesn't reward ambitions. God doesn't satisfy ambitions, but he fulfills visions. That is why this month is very unique for you. It's very, it is very important for you to know what God has for you. Now, he talked about, go back to Joel chapter number 2, verse number 28. He also spoke about the various, can I push this way? The idea of you having, he talked about, let's go to the rendition. He said that that my spirit will come upon our flesh. Your sons and your daughters will do what? Prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. The word dream is not going to sleep and having pictures. Is somebody here with me? But then in your line of life, in your progressive way of living, you get to an old age and your experience or your manifestation is more like dreams. Are you understanding me? But for somebody who is young like you and I, the Bible says that we will see visions. We will see visions. We will see visions. Which means that it's not about going to sleep and having dreams or going to getting into trance or trying to know our future or trying to kind of do or write certain things that we would want to do, but it is a realm in which God brings us into knowing his purpose and his intent concerning our lives. He said, for you young men, your purpose is to see vision, but for those who are old, The only dream is that they wish they were seeing vision when they were like you. Is somebody understanding me? So their dream is what they had wished or expected to have what? Seen. But maybe for some reason they couldn't come into fulfillment. But for you, the young one, God expects you to see vision. I pray that you be in this church with a vision. Is somebody here with me? So quickly, what goes into it is, what is vision? Let's quickly define it for the sake of time. I don't want to waste much of your time because we'll be going much into details of what God wants us to do. So what the point I want you to understand is that the last days are the days of outpouring of the Spirit to us as a church to make us visionary men. God wants to make us what? Visionaries. The last day church, the reason why the Holy Spirit was poured on the day of Pentecost was not for showmanship. Come on, say it was not for showmanship. Was not the demonstration that there is a power above certain power. Are you understanding me? What was not to show that the Jesus they killed has now resurrected, and therefore there is Jesus. No, but the grace for the outpouring was to make men like Peter and call men of what? Visionaries. The reason why the Holy Spirit was given to you was to make you a visionary person. So what is vision? As I've already explained, vision is not writing about your future. It's not about daydreaming. It's not planning how your life will go. See, that is not a vision. But that is what? That is what? Good. In Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 4 and 5. Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 4 and 5. In fact, I want to run with this message. Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 1. He said that, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, God, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before that came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Say, a prophet unto the nation. Now, it is very indicative to understand that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Not what he wished for, or he wants to be, or what he had planned to be, or how life must be for him, but he came. The word of the Lord came unto him that before I formed thee in your mother's womb, I knew thee, and in out of that place I ordained you, and I made you a prophet. I sanctify you, and I made you a prophet. So it's not about what he wished to be, or what he want to be, or what he loved to be, or what he can pursue to be, but it is what God has ordained for him to be. Am I defining vision in this house? Is somebody listening to me? Not him alone. Also in Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 15. Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 15 and 16. The same thing was said about Paul. Galatians 1:15 said that, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. What did God do? The Bible says that he called him out of his mother's womb and separated him for something. And what was it? To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the hidden. The Bible says that immediately I confer not with flesh and blood. God called me. Tell somebody, he called me. Can I push it further? Say, he called me. Oh, come on, do it again. Say, he called me. So vision is not what a man decides on. Come on, drop it. Vision is not what a man decides on. I mean, our mentality and our mindset has always been that you are young, your parents or people around your parents and your family friends will be asking you, oh, what do you want to be? And say, hey, do you know how many the things I wanted to really want to be? I didn't know what I want to be. So if you ask me, for lack of more questions, I'll say I want to be a doctor. And say, oh, that's good. That's good. And you're happy. Vision is not what a man decides on, but something a man comes into. Drop it. It is not what a man decides on, but something that a man comes into. You come into your vision. You come into your vision. It is something that you inquire in. You get into. You find in. Is anybody here with me? So simply put, based on the examples of Jeremiah and Paul, you realize that in their case, in all cases, and like your case, God called you even before you became a clot of blood in your mother's womb. God had ordained you for something that you also have to do. Is anybody here with me? Now quickly, let's define what vision is, and I'll come back crazy. He said, vision is the discovery or the unfolding of God's plan for one's life. Vision is the discovery or unfolding of God's plan for one's life. Vision is the discovery, is discovering, coming to know, coming into. It's not what you have decided on, like that you want to be like that. If I should go there, if I should do that, then I would be in line with vision. No, vision is something that comes into it, and you come into it because God has ordained it to be so. So it is a discovery or unfolding of God's plan for your life. Coming into terms for what God has ordained for you. Coming into terms for what God has consecrated you to. Coming into terms for what God has ordained for you to do. Somebody is blessed. I said somebody is blessed. You have been separated unto something. You have been called unto something. And you have been ordained for something. I pray that from today, may you begin to know, may you come to the place where you will know what God has called you unto, what he has separated you unto, and what he has ordained for your life. In the name of Jesus, that makes your life progressive. That makes your path shine like a light. You say that the path of the just is like a shining light. It shineth more and more, even unto the perfect day. That is not possible until you come to the place of vision. Say, I'm coming to the place of vision. Even as our church celebrates its anniversary, I pray for you that you also come into the place of vision. There was something that God has designed and purposed for your life to do. You will not just be walking in and out and not knowing what to do. You will not just be full with ambitions and all kinds of desires and not yet never have any fulfilled. But you will come to the place of knowing what God has for you. If you believe you are the one, give him another shout of praise. Oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. The grace is coming, the anointing is coming. Your glory, your blessing, your success in life is predicated on the vision that God has for you. Can I come again? I said your blessing. Tell somebody your blessing. Your glory. Your favors. Your success in life. Oh my God, it's predicated. It is founded on the vision. Or it is founded, come on, let me come again. It is founded on what God has called you for, what he has separated you unto, and what he has ordained for your life. Am I speaking to people here? That is why you shouldn't lack vision. Tell somebody, I will not lack vision. Am I speaking to somebody here? Now, when you look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 29 to verse number 30, it is explicitly clear. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 29 to 30, I want us to quickly go on that. Now, you must understand, he said that, for we know that all things work. Okay, let's start from 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to conform to the image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Look at where you are for coming from. He foreknew you. He's not talking about Jeremiah here. Neither is he talking about Paul here. But he's talking about you. Oh, come on. You are not a small person sitting here. He said you before your parents decided to make love. And for your father to ejaculate. To release pens into your mother's what is the name of it? Womb. No, I wanted that another name. But let me not go there. Time is on our side. But before they decided that, before they had a thought to even meet, whether by the corner, not in the bedroom actually, at the corner there. You know, some of you were giving birth in a car. But wherever it is, God says, I knew you. Yeah. Kai. Oh, come on. That should tell me you are not a mistake. Can I preach to somebody here? That should tell me you are not an entity. You are not on this earth by accident. God has programmed your life. He foreknew you even before the foundations of the earth was laid. If you believe it, shout yeah. He said, and whom he called, moreover, whom he did predestinate. He foreknew. Before time. He knew me. And to know means to have knowledge of me. To know me is not, it wasn't just by mere acquaintance, but he knows me. He knows my name. He knows every fiber within me. He knows the number of my hair. He knows me. He knows even my birthmark. He knows before they came into play. Every part of where your birthmark is, God knew it before it was placed there. He knows the number of your hair. He can count it every now and then and say that you have so and so number. Oh my God. Not only does he know the number, but he knows each one by number. Kai. He knows each one by the number. Okay, this is number one. This is number two. This is number three. This one came before that. Oh my God. You get to the barber, you get to the hairdresser, and you go and shave it, and one by one your hair will begin to grow. God knows that this came before this, and that came before that, and that came before. Who told you were an entity? You are a child of a living God. Shall he knows me? Oh, if you leave me today, the roof will go off. I said, shall he knows me? Not only does he know, but he also says, he predestinated my life. That means you're going out and you're coming in. Has all been programmed. I'm too special. Oh, come on, tell somebody I'm too special. To be special means that you have you everything about you has been set. I remember when I was traveling to UK, I booked my ticket in and out, and it was so easy. When I was coming, I didn't need to go and search or look for the airline and start telling them that I'm going back to Ghana so-and-so date, so therefore it's my ticket intact. No. When the date for me to return, I just got to the airport and I didn't even have to bring anything. I just brought my phone, and then they scanned the phone and they saw that I am booked for a return ticket back to Ghana. I didn't have to struggle. So is your life. Before you came out of your mother's womb and your return, everything has been programmed over your life. I came to announce to you that who told you that where you are is where you are supposed to be? Who told you that nothing is going to change in your life? Who told you that God is not concerned about you? Who told you he's forgotten about you? Shut up! Hey, he knows me. Yeah. He knows me. So by reason of his knowledge for me, he has predestined my life. And the Bible said, for that reason, he called me. Come. All of you, come. I have an assignment for you. I have something that you need to do. Going to the world is not going like any other person. You are so special. There's a grace upon your life. You came from a mighty long way. God wants something to do with your life. I don't want to live your life. I want you to work according to the plan that I have for you. So, because of the plan he has for you, he justified you. You know what justification means? Just as if you didn't do it. They had tagged you with all kinds of names, said all things about you, did all kinds of issues, trying to bring you down, pull him down. But God looked at you because he knew you before. And that is not your nature. That is not who you are. Whatever you have entangled yourself with in this life is not who you are. There's a God nature in you. So when he called you, he said that I'm not only calling you, but I want to justify you. Your justification means that even though you did it, God sees you and look at you just as if you did not do it. People want to throw tantrums, and people want to say all kinds of things, and they will despise you. But God says that in spite of what they think you have done, I see you to be just as if you did not. The reason why he justified you is that he will glorify you. Are there people here who are scattered? Are there people here who are destined for glorification? In spite of what you have been through, in spite of your perplexities, your vexatious, the issues that are confronting your life, you are destined for glory. I said you are destined for glory. Come on, shout glory. Hey, I feel if I should dwell on it, it will eat our time. But I want to move on to the aspect of where I said that vision is a heavenly thing. Vision is a heavenly thing. Vision is a heavenly thing. And how many of you believe that we are citizens of heaven? And therefore, anybody here on earth, you are an ambassador. You know, can I push it back? Is it 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20? See if that is right. That says that we are ambassadors. So tell somebody we are ambassadors. Say we are ambassadors. And whatever we are doing here on earth is to reinforce and to declare and to manifest that which is in heaven here on earth. Every ambassador that is assigned to a nation goes with a plan. You don't do things your own way. Am I preaching to somebody here? Once you know you are ambassador, you go not with the dictates of the nation you are going to, but the plan and the program from where you are coming from. So they tell you what to do. They tell you the direction you should go. They tell you who to visit, whether to go to visit the president at this time or not. They tell you every ambassador carries a plan. That is why you must live without a vision. Because if you live without a vision, you are living without a plan for your life and for your destiny. Come on, am I hitting on some nerves? You see, we are living in a day where people are just living because they are living. Oh, when they think that they're first, I have to marry. So they see a nice girl, and then they say, actually, this one will be nice, this one will be good for marriage, and then they go into it. If I can do this, oh, let me try this. So everything has become what you have decided on to do. And the plan you want to do, or you want your life to go, but you have forgotten that you are an ambassador. Oh, come on, can I push this? You came from a city. You came from a nation whose buildings were not built with hands. You came from the holy city, a place where angels are all over, a place whose streets is made of gold. You are a citizen of a place that is a heavenly host, where God is the president. And when you came on here, he gave you a plan. So it is not about what you want to do, what you decide on, or what you have to do, but God wants you to walk according to the specs that he has for you. That is how that your life is not seeing any glory. That is why you are not seeing much of his hand, much of his manifestation, because everything has become ambition. It's about what you want to do, what you want to decide, what you have decided, what you want to be, where you want to go. Nothing about God's plan for your life. You decide who to marry, what to work, the kind of job you have to do, the kind of people you have to make, and the kind of things that must come your way. Who told you? That's why your life is stagnated. That's why you don't see your way out. That's why you hit one thing and you stop and you can't go any further, and you start another one and you hit and you can't go further, and you start another one and you hit and you can't go further. All because you are derailed from the plans of God concerning your life. But I came to let you know that there is a new species, a kind of people who understand it, the will and the purposes of God concerning their life, who will not be detected by the moves, what everybody is doing, but they will know what God has for them, and they will walk in it. Come on, are you proud of the people? Shout, yeah! Oh! Is anybody here with me? That is when you begin to walk in line with a vision, the plan, the program that God has for you, then you will see a progression. Every step will be a shining light. Every step will be a shining light. Every step, there will never be any stumbling. But once you pursue ambition, you hit it. This is not the right girl. I should have married. then let me break the marriage. Let me break because, huh? Yes, you can break the marriage because maybe for some reason you are not in line with God's plan for your life. Can I preach a little further? Jeremiah 29, verse number 11 says that, "For I know the thoughts," come on, "that I think towards you." Now listen, God in his own infinite wisdom, his divine power, said he knows the thoughts. The thought actually simply means the plan for your life. And he says that the plans is to give you peace. Come on, come on, come on, push it, say peace. In other words, when you go on your own plan, you will never have peace. But when you tangent on the plan of God, it gives you peace. Not only will it give you peace, but it also give you what? An expected end. I don't know where you want to be in life, but God wants you to get to the place where he has wanted you to do. I don't know about you, but may your end be glorious. May your end be an expected one. May your end be an envious one. If you believe, shall I believe? Indeed, life has begun at 40. We will push very hard. What does it take? What does it take? What does it take? What does it take for one to discover vision? This is very important and this is key. What does it take for one to discover vision? What does it take for one to discover vision? What does it take for one to discover vision? And I want to be very brief on this as we push very fast. Hey, God save us. Hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah. Now give me Revelations chapter number 4, verse number 1. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1. Yes, help me read it as I read it. Say that, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in the heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither." Tell somebody, come up hither. God bless you. Say, come up hither. Oh, are you angry with me? Oh, that is the word that many of you can't pronounce well. I understand. "And I will show thee things which must be." Come on. Come on. Come on. Somebody draw into it. Now let me say that. And he spoke to me. He talked to me and said, "Come up hither." There's a brasura. "And I will show thee things which will come hereafter." That means that for somebody to discover vision, you must go up. You must do what? When God wanted to show John vision about what was to happen, he told John to do what? To come up. Tell somebody, come up. Are you understanding me? Now, when he went up, God started revealing things, deep things about his life and about the future and about what is to happen. Somebody here with me. So number one, what does it take for one to discover vision? You must go up. Come up to the place of vision. Going up. Tap somebody and say, going up. Going up. Going up. Going up. Going up. Now, I want to share with you the things that we must do to go up. For anybody to go up, there are ladders you must climb. The other day, when heavens were open unto Jacob, the Bible says that he saw a ladder, and on the ladder were steps that were leading to heaven, and he saw angels descending and condescending. Praise God. So there are steps that takes you up into the place of vision, that is discovery. Are you understanding me? There are steps that one must take to discover your vision for your life. Number one, what are the steps that one must take? I'll be very frank. John chapter 15, verse number 14 to 15. John chapter 15, verse number 14 to 15. Is somebody following me? Now, Jesus said, ye are my friends if ye do whatever I command you. Push it. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his master doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made them known. So said, I may receive another. Now, what is the first step or ladder that we need to climb to go up so that we can see the things that God is telling us, the vision for our lives? Number one, be a friend of God. Jesus said, henceforth, call you not what? Servants. Why? Because servants doesn't know what? What his master doing. The sad thing in life is that there are many people in the church who are not sons, but they are servants. He said, a servant knoweth not. There is no way you can know the purpose, the plan of God for your life if you're not a friend to God. Friends share secrets. Oh, unless you're not a friend. Come on. Unless you're not what? But a true friend share secrets. Jesus told his disciples that, look, I'm graduating you from servanthood into friendship. Why friendship? Because that is the level where we can share secrets. Therefore, if you are not a friend of God, forget it. Forget it. You can never know the vision or discover the vision for your life. Servants don't know what their master doeth. He said, yet now I call you what? Friends. Now he went on to say that, go back to the scripture, please. Now 15. He said that, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. The only way you come to know of God for your life is to be a friend of God. Many of you call people friends which are not your friends. In fact, now the word friendship has become a term, a cliche. People just say, oh, you are my friend, but obwa. You don't know. Friendship comes with commitment. Can I push it? If I say you are my friend, then I must be committed to you. Even if I'm sleeping late in the night and you call me for help, I must be able to come. That is who a friend is. A friend is somebody when you see a missed call, you don't ignore, but you return. Yes. So if somebody is your friend and you think for some reason there's a little challenge, there's a misunderstanding, oh, mimwano, he's not your friend. Because friends, what binds friends is commitment that you share. I must be committed to you day and night. I must be committed to you rain or shine. I must be committed to you. Once I know you are my friend, some of you call people friends because they talk good things about them. No. If you are my friend, I don't expect you to say good things about me. But it's the other way around now. Now, if somebody's your friend, you start saying bad things about them. No, not to criticize one way or the other or to say any bad thing, but to point to them they are wrong. They dissociate themselves from you. You are not my friend. If you are my friend, you won't tell me that. If you really like me or love me, you won't say these things to me. Meanwhile, the things the person is saying are things that will help you change your life. Call me a friend if you tell me what my mistakes are. Call me a friend if you're able to tell me what I'm not able to do, my inabilities, my weaknesses. Hey, don't say you're my friend when you cover up and you expect me to walk in danger and perish. You are not a good friend. Jesus said, henceforth, I'm not treating you as kids. Let me tell you something. Until I grew, my father couldn't share certain things with me in the family and the secrets in his family. But when he realized I'm of age, he said, once you call and you start sharing with me certain things that was happening in his family, in his own life, certain things, and that became a guiding principle for me. Some of you are just living life anyhow. Look at how your father lived and avoid his mistakes. Friends, Jesus said, henceforth, you are not what? Servants. But I call you friends. What is established between friends is obedience. Now God is saying in Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse number 1. Deuteronomy 28 verse number. He says, if ye are willing and obedient and to do and to observe all that is written therein, all the commandments that I've commanded thee, trying to paraphrase, he said that then I, the Lord your God, would what? Set you above the nations of the earth. God wants to set somebody above the nations of the earth. But that is not possible until you come to the place of friendship. The other day, the Bible called Abraham as a friend of God. In Genesis chapter 18, verse number 17 and 19, God called Abraham a friend of God. 18, 17 and 19 said that, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? Let me tell you something. There was something, I mean, breaking in my spirit somewhere last week that even as in as much as we have a need, God has the greatest need. No, you don't understand. Let me come again. Can I rewind and replay? Even how many of you have a need here? Come on, push it. No, you don't. God bless you. You don't have a need. Charlie. Amen. Even as you have a need, God has the greatest need. And take it from me. Why is Pastor saying that? The greatest need of God is that he's looking for someone that he will show himself strong. Do you know that God cannot do anything as at now in our dispensation unless he uses a man? Oh, come on, look at you. You don't understand. And do you know that God is lacking people that he will prove himself strong? God is lacking people. God is lacking people that he will set them above the nations of the earth. God is lacking people that he will make his riches out of their lives. God is lacking people that he will cause his wisdom and his intelligence to come out of their lives. God is lacking people. And the reason God is lacking is that there are not people to stand in the gap of obedience, of coming to the place of friendship with God. Oh, come on, let me quickly push this. What does it mean to be a friend with God? To yield and surrender totally unto God. To yield your life wholeheartedly. As I said, it's a commitment. It is not just motto. Huh? When I say motto, you know what motto is. Yes. It's not just a motto. You know what a motto? Call and respond. Oh, you're my friend. No. Can I push a little further? So God says that, can I do something and hide it from Abraham? That which I do? Then verse number 18, he said, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So the need of God is to locate a man like Abraham, who is a friend of God, so that through him he will show his greatness into the world. I came to let you know that be a friend of God. Yeah, be a friend of God. Be a friend. The reason why you don't want to be a friend of God is the fact that friendship pains a little sometimes. I say friendship pains. Friendship is not all rosy, it's not all sweet. Because if you are my friend, then I must be ready to tell you what is wrong with you so that you can be a better person. The fact that I spoke about your issue doesn't mean I hate you. You are a friend, that's why I spoke that way to you. Many of you don't want to be spoken to. You don't. When there's an issue and a pastor call you or an elder call you or somebody in the church trying to advise you, they don't like. You start growing wings. You don't like me. If it's about me, then everybody is talking about it. We are talking about it because we love you. We love you. We don't want you to be a mess in your future. We are not talking about it so that we crucify you, but we are talking about it because we want you to be a better person. Every word of God comes from the altar is to make you a better person. Don't make it so personal with the intuition of the devil. Sometimes we process the word of God in our own way, because even before the word comes, you have preached. Prejudice mind. Your mind is already occupied. Pastor, no, no. Who told you I don't have time for you? How can I look at the number of people seated here, then I'll come just because of you? I waste others' time. I don't have time for you. But when the word of God comes, take it and change your life, because I love you and God loves you. Somebody be a friend of God. James chapter 4 verse number 4. James was admonishing us and was telling us, some of you, instead of being the friend of God, you become a friend with the world. The world becomes your friend, yet you are in church. You are bringing the church, you are making the church worldly. He says, ye adulterers. You know, adulteress and adulteresses, you should know the difference. Know ye not that the friendship of the world, the friendship of the world, tell somebody the friendship of the world is against God. You can't be in church as a child of God, somebody called. Somebody justified, meant for glory. You can't walk in the plan and the purpose of God for your life and have progression if you're a friend of the world. What does it mean to be a friend of yielding to the world, letting the world dictate for you? What I mean, you bring the worldly things into your system. You mingle yourself with civilian affairs. Somebody worldly. I pray that it will not be you. In the name of Jesus Christ. So the first ladder for anybody to discover your vision is to do what? Hey, is to do what? Can I close or can I add one more? Just one more. The second ladder. Just the second ladder. The second ladder for anybody to go up in discovering the vision of God for your life. The second ladder. Psalm number 25, verse number 9. I want to be brief with this because time is up. Psalm number 25, verse number 9. Now he says, everybody go. The meek will he guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his ways. Now chalk like that. So the second ladder to go up so that you can see the things concerning your life hereafter is to be meek. Meek simply means to be humble. To be humble. Nobody goes up if you first don't go down. It is a principle. If you are not willing to submit, nobody will lift you up. If you are not willing to humble, to become Jimmy one day, nobody, you will never go up. Some of you, the kind of training God is taking you, you don't want to just stay. I can't go through this. How can I be under such a man? How can I be? Every training, the Bible's talked about discipline. He said, for a moment it's not pleasant, but after a time it says as what? Righteousness for those who are trained by it. No discipline seems pleasant. No discipline. You're not willing to humble yourself. You want things your way. You will never see the vision and the plan for your life. You need to be meek. He said, come on, put it there. The meek will he guide judgment. And meek will he teach his ways. It is not about your way. The reason why you are not moving forward is you are going on your way. And God says it won't help you. You want my way? Come down. Humble yourself. And I will show you. I will teach you the way that you should go. In every ramifications of your life, somebody is blessed. I said somebody is blessed. Now, how many of you want yokes to be broken? Yokes be broken. Oh, can I push this? Are you mad at me? How many of you believe that every yoke must be broken? Every yoke. Are you sure? I came to tell you that there is a yoke that can't be broken. There is a particular yoke that upa your country 80 days. Yenhwe moto. Any adjongo, a surisa, yamfa yinka kadunka ho, yamfa sao. So how you know? It will never break over your life. Can I explain? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. Jesus, among the things he called us to come to, for him to make us, is to make us meek people. Of prayer say, now he said, come unto me, all ye that labor. Say labor. Is Mama Gloria here? That's how we say it in our hometown. Labor. And are heavy what? Laden. And I will give you what? Tell somebody rest. Tell somebody rest. Verse number 29. Now he said, take my yoke upon you and do what? Now if Jesus is saying take my yoke and you want to break the yoke, now you see that when you are praying that let every yoke be broken, you don't know what you are saying, because there is a yoke that when we come to Jesus, he puts on us. And I'm here, ladies and gentlemen, to let you know that what that yoke is. It is a yoke of humility. That one, it cannot be broken. Anything our home has won. Because 2 years won. And you have it was this yoke that gave Jesus that is above every other. Why? He humbled himself even unto death. Death on a cross. So, you want to be given a name that is above every name, but yet let every yoke be destroyed, including your humility. You are never going up. The second ladder that takes everybody up to catch the vision for your life is to humble yourself. You see, when you humble yourself, you will never miss your way, because there will be somebody to teach you the direction. There's somebody who has been through the path and said, don't take this step, but rather take this step. But because you think you know, even when the pastor tells you, oh, Pastor, when you understand, hey, get somebody a vision. Tell somebody, I have a vision. Somebody's blessed. You are also going. Tell somebody you are also going. Can I push this for the last time? So, this is how. This is how I define humility. Then I'm done. Write it. For those of you who are writing, this is how I define humility. Oh, no, sorry. Meekness. Meekness, everybody listen, is having an open-hearted life, ready to receive instructions and ready to follow. That is meekness. I'm coming again. Everybody drop it. Meekness is having an open-hearted life, ready to receive instructions and ready to follow. Can I push it again? Meekness is having an open-hearted life, ready to receive instructions and ready to follow. Be on your feet. Lift up your hands and thank God for everything you have heard. Here I am to worship. Come on, raise it higher.
Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that.
Come on.
You're my God.
Oh, Lord, all together.
Together,
come on,
all together, wonderful.
I thought you were singing with me. Here to worship,
here I am to worship.
Come on,
here I am to bow.
Here
I am to sing.
First one is that, Father, by your Spirit, make me a friend of God. Number two, Father, give me a heart of meekness. Open your mouth and pray. Come on, open your mouth. If you really want to know and discover the vision for your life, say, Father, let me climb the ladder of being a friend with God. Give me a heart of meekness. Is anybody praying? Don't play church. Pray. Can't hold it. On this anniversary morning, pray the Father, make me your friend. Let me yield totally unto you. Let me surrender unto you. Let me surrender unto you, Lord. I yield all unto you. Make me your friend, Lord. In this anniversary morning, come and raise your hands to the Father. Surrender it all. Father, give me a heart of meekness. Give me the grace to humble myself. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. Come on.
I
will open up
my heart.
Come on, raise your hands.
Ready for your holy fire.
Come on, sing it with me.
I will let you into my mind and into my soul.
Come on, pledge in my life. Do it now.
Pledge in my life. Serving you is my desire.
Come on.
I won't be holding back at all. Responding to your call.
I will open up.
Come on. I will open up my heart. Ready for your holy fire.
Oh,
I will let you into my mind and into my soul.
We trust that you've been blessed with the Word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.